So welcome to Outsource Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Douglas Campbell, the author of the book titled, Whence We Came, A Multi-Millennium, Multidimensional Struggle for Survival. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Douglas, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be able to tell everybody about my book, and thank you.
Yeah, and let's start with your story. Who is Douglas Campbell, and what initially drew you in this world of writing?
Well, I have a kind of a mobile nomadic past. I went to three different high schools in 4 years, and I've traveled around the world extensively. And my career had me out and about in Europe and Asia and the United States. And in the evenings, we would be at dinners, and I'm a storyteller, and I guess it came from moving around and going to so many high schools. I always had to fit in, so I developed the gift of gab, and so I'm always telling stories, usually about me and things I've done. I hitchhiked across Europe when I was a young man, and hitchhiked across the United States by myself. And so, you know, during these little chit-chats in the evenings and with friends, and usually over wine or a beer, and everybody kept telling me, you should write a book. You should write a book. So I sat down some time ago, started writing a book, and I got about a chapter into it and realized that these stories sounded pretty good with some glasses of wine and beer, but it really, when I put it into writing, it was boring. But I liked the writing process itself. So I switched gears and came up with this story, Whence We Came, and turned a story about me into, you know, a story about a young boy becoming a man, and adventure, family, loyalty, and that sort of thing. So values I kind of subscribe to. And I add kind of the, you know, personal element to it. The protagonists in the story are from the Campbell family, and my name's Campbell. So I kind of try to tie the author with the characters a little bit. So yeah, that's how that all came to be.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that you travel all around the world, and how have your diverse experiences shaped your voice as a fiction author?
Well, again, I think it started out just, you know, the need when I was in high school to fit in, develop my gift of gab, and you know, people always wanted to know about where I came from and learn about me. So I just kind of, you know, people asked about me, and I ended up telling stories about me. And so and the same thing with business, particularly international traveling, where we have a lot of different cultural differences, and people are always interested in our culture and where I came from and how I grew up. So, you know, my whole life has just been kind of seems like a development and kind of a lead up to why and how I wrote the book. And I didn't use a procedure per se, as maybe a lot of authors do. I took English literature in college, but I didn't really do a very methodical process to writing the book. I just told it as a story, kind of like that, you know, like I like to do, tell stories. And so I think it gives it a little natural flow to it, and you know, a little more connectivity with the reader, so to speak. I try to also, you know, do a lot of character development, and so the reader can get immersed in with the characters and the plot. So yeah.
Then, you know, you worked in theology and history. What motivated you to branch into historical fantasy with Whence We Came?
Well, when I decided to flip from writing a book about me to writing a fictional book, I kind of looked around. I'm a reader myself. I'm an avid reader, and I typically read a book a week, flipping back and forth from fiction to nonfiction. And So when I decided to write the book, I thought, what genre is popular now? And I was seeing a lot of post-apocalyptic books out there, and I didn't really, I kind of liked the audience of that, but I didn't really want to write just another post-apocalyptic book, but I liked, you know, the what-ifs of that and the kind of the unknowns. And so I kind of gravitated and blended in this action adventure fantasy. You know, this has some surreal, you know, monsters, I guess you would call them, in it, and some fantasy element to it, and a little bit of a love story so that we attract all the audiences. So that's how I got into that. I think you would call it action adventure fantasy love story, boy coming of age, you know, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, like there's all in that book. And you know, the subtitle, it's epic. Like, what drew you to the idea of like multi-millennium, multi-dimensional struggle?
Well, I had so many different kind of ideas, and I ended up just blending them all into the first book. And then as I was writing the book, I realized there's going to need to be more. So this is the first book of a 3-book series. And the multi-millennium concept came in kind of from the Yellowstone show on TV, where they had different time periods in the family. And so the books probably will not be just an ongoing story of the protagonist, you know, pick up where we left off. It'll jump to the next generation of the family, and in the end bring it into the you know, the modern day, perhaps. And a lot of it has a lot of reflection of me personally in there, and family references, not directly, but kind of innuendo or influences, so to speak. And the multidimensional thing was just kind of something that popped in. Yeah, it's part of the fantasy part, where we have doors where people can go to different places and different times. So that kind of, it all came about, naturally as the story came on. So, yeah.
And the protagonist is 14-year-old Archie, right? Like, why choose a young hero? Like, what age of group are you willing or aiming to reach?
Well, I think this attracts anybody from, 16 on up to my age, later, mature, just because of the action of it and the different genres that are kind of blended in. Archie Campbell, who is the protagonist of the story, is 14 when it starts, actually 15 when most of the action takes place. And I don't want to give the story away too much, but he's a young man. And because it's set in the late 1890s, boys became men a little earlier in those days. So that's kind of why I started the age where it is. And the story actually reaches back to the Civil War and some of his references to his family and some of the people in the book. And then, like I said, transitioning to the next book, which would be another generation ahead, allows, time for him. He'll still be in the book probably, but an older person, of course. So, yeah.
So in this story, what do you think, what challenges did you face adapting your writing style? Like from the theology, action, adventure?
I think the biggest challenge for me was that I was doing it part-time. I still have a sort of a day job. And so writing in the evenings and picking up where I left off a day later, or maybe a couple of days later, I had to kind of go back and review. And so that was a real challenge, keeping the continuity of the story going. And I think anybody that's written anything like this knows that you have times when you're motivated and into it, and times when you got writer's block. And so, trying to fit my lifestyle into writing the book was probably the biggest challenge. Yeah.
And you also mentioned this is the first in a Planet trilogy. Like, what moment in writing feel like confirmed this is exactly the story that you want to tell?
Well, the overall story, and I guess kind of idea that I want to get across through all the books is, a thing I think is very popular today. And, you know, it's the lessons learned in life and things you need to learn, you have to learn for yourself. And this is addressed in Whence We Came, and I have the concept of it taking it further that Archie, again, the protagonist of the story, you know, is wondering why, you know, these people are telling him things on a need-to-know basis. Well, because he needs to experience things in life for himself and learn himself in order to really, you know, have the lessons learned set in and be able to use them. So, you know, life can't be handed to you on a silver platter. There's challenges, and I think this book shows the challenges and the need not never to give up. We've heard that from a lot of inspirational speakers, and so it's got a lot of that concept to it as well.
And you also, you have included a charity angle, like $1 per book goes to cancer research. How did the idea come from?
Well, aside from moving around a lot when I was a child, I had another challenge. My mother passed away from breast cancer when I was 17 years old in my junior year of high school. And today, somebody else very near and dear to me is struggling with cancer. And things back when I was younger aren't the same as they are today, but the cancer is still just as deadly to women as it was back then. And so I looked around at some foundations, and I found Susan G. Komen Foundation as being one that kind of approaches it on a multi-level basis and attacks it not just from the technical side, but from the social side, the institutional side. So I have a lot of faith in the Susan G. Komen Foundation from the research I've done and some contact I've had with them before. So that's the reason I chose that foundation and why I wanted to use the book to support the foundation.
Yeah, so basically when they buy the book, $1 is going to be donated to the cancer research. So it's yes. Good they can also, they're supporting also like a charity, and then they're having a good book to read. So
yes,
that's the advantage. And have readers reached out with a feedback right now? Like how have they react to Archie's coming of age journey?
Well, the few people that have read the book so far and kind of previews and helping me out with reviewing and proofreading, they liked the book. They were surprised at the kind of the development and there's parallel places in the States and then in Southern England where the action takes. And I kind of balanced the action back and forth from the two locations, and that kept the reader's interest. So I got a lot of good feedback on that. And also the character development, the people that know me saw a lot of me in Archie, I guess, but, it's the overall balance of locations and the development of the plot combined with the character development. There's some very interesting characters in the book, particularly toward the end, and there's a big final battle that takes place, and I got a lot of compliments and wows on how the book kind of winds up. And then in the end, in the epilogue, it's a little bit of a tearjerker for somebody who's a little emotional, I guess. And so I left it on that. But it's an upbeat book overall, not a tragedy by any sense. But
And right now, are you working in any new books or any new projects that you can share with the audience?
Yeah, I can't share too much of it because it's not real. I'm doing a little bit more structured approach to the next books as I did with this one. So I've got an outline on the next one, on the next book, which will be titled On Borrowed Time, which takes the struggle and the plight that Archie and some other people in the book are fighting, and takes it to the next step and the next place and the next level. And then the final book, the trilogy, which I have some real light notes on at this point, is going to be called A New Beginning. So it's going to be a very transitional from the struggle to the results of the struggle and how the struggle helped mankind and the world. And so, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And finally, where can our listeners connect with you, follow your work online?
On July 4th, it should be live on Amazon. And by July 15th, it'll be live on Barnes & Noble and Ingram Spark. And the reader can go to my website, which is www.thesableseries.com. The three-book series is called the Sable Series because in the book there's a entity called the Sable Council. And so the Sable Series became the name of the trilogy. And so they can go to my website, again, www.thesableseries.com, and they can see a lot of really neat artwork that I did. And you can read the prologue to the book there and get a sense of the writing flavor and start the story, and kind of the beginning of the story, of course. But a lot of neat pictures on the characters, places in the book, and, you know, different elements of the book. Very, very well put together website. Had a lot of help with the structure, but I think the reader would be pleased with that. There's also a Facebook a group that I created called the Sable Series. You can go there and get updates on the publication dates. On the website, there will be store logos that you can click directly from there and take you directly to the book, so you don't have to search Amazon or Barnes & Noble for the title. Sometimes, you know, new books don't come up to the top when you search for them. But if you go to the website, you can go directly to the book from there.
Okay.
And on the website, there will be a logo, the Sable Series logo, you can click on to order a book directly from me that's going to be an author-signed copy. And the first 50 copies sold will be serial numbered, so they'll be considered a collector's edition. And then after that, you can still get a signed copy, but it won't be the collector's edition. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Douglas. Thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio. And thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check his book. Thank you for tuning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. And join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.